This is a sworn statement of Tara Graham. Today's date is November the 6th, 2008. The time is about 9:35 in the evening. Tara, would you acknowledge for the record you're aware I'm tape recording this?
Yes, I'm aware.
Okay, and you understand it's a sworn statement. When we get to the end of it, you'll be asked to swear or affirm that the statements you made are true?
Yes.
Okay. I've introduced myself to Ms. Graham as Bill Branscombe, a private investigator employed by the law firm of Robert Bernhoft, the law firm of Robert Bernhoft having an interest in an individual she knows as Troy Stratus. Ms. Graham.
Yes.
When did you first meet Troy Stratus? Under what circumstances?
I was hired as a temp to organize his Rolodex. When I first met him, it was at the Murphy Mansion. He looked like he would be somebody that would be of the nature that he was portrayed to be of Hollywood, music, movies, and all that stuff. He just had that glow about him. It was kind of an amazing thing. Plus, seeing Eddie Murphy's house was ridiculous, but.
Okay, so you were hired as a temp. You were to take care of the Rolodex. When you were you hired to work for him personally or for his business?
I was under the assumption it was for his business.
And what was the business?
What was it called? The Next Level Media.
Okay. Do you know who Nicole Murphy is?
Yes. The ex-wife of Eddie Murphy.
Did Troy have business dealings or dealings of some kind with Nicole that you know about?
Yeah, she called all the time to the house talking. You know, they're always talking every day, all day. She would call him, but he tried to be pretty private about things, but always told us that he was in Sacramento at that house to, you know, make sure she's taken care of, that she's not stressed out during the divorce. And so we were there to kind of, like, help him help her.
Did he help her financially?
He made it seem like he was helping her financially. That's what it seemed like. I mean, what did I know?
Okay. Did he represent to you, what did he represent to you, if anything, about his personal finances, his personal net worth, that sort of thing?
The way I took it was that he had a lot of stock in Chevron. He talked about Chevron a lot, having stock there, and then also knowing, the Prince of Arabia or whatever it was over on the East, and, that's about it, and plus his dealings with Nancy Wilson, so I figured that maybe he's just a producer that, you know, does his own thing, entrepreneur.
Of course, he was the boss, so he
was the
really
boss. So
he explained to you.
Yeah, he didn't need to explain anything to me, but he used to say that he had more money that would make Eddie Murphy look poor. But you know, whatever.
He represented to you that he had relationships with royal families in the Middle East.
Yes. I remember a story he told us all at a meeting that he had his grandparents or his parents gave him $60,000 for school. But, you know, one of the Arabian prince of whatever, the royalties wanted to invest it for him. And so he gave it to them and they invested it. And that's where that began with the Chevron stock.
And he got rich.
And he got rich off $60,000, yeah.
Did you see signs of wealth?
It looked pretty wealthy to me in my case, yeah.
What kind of cars did he have?
Oh, man, we're talking. He had a really nice Mustang, a Shelby Mustang with a excellent paint job, a customized paint job. He had an Aston Martin, a Rolls-Royce Phantom, that G-Wagon, the Mercedes G-Wagon they call it, a BMW Mach 6, and a Lamborghini Verado.
Lots of toys.
Lots of toys. It looked like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm.
Did he spend a lot of money?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of money, especially on dinners. He took us out a lot. He would give me $500 here and there. Just, here, have $500.
Generous guy?
Generous. Yeah, he seemed very benevolent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what he portrayed to be anyway.
Well, you're smirking and smiling.
Yeah, because it just, going back on it, just makes me laugh because I feel like a fool, but then,
wow. Yeah. What do you know now that you did not know then?
Well, the saying is true. If it's too good to be true, it is. It is. That's the damn truth.
You think he's an honest man?
No, not anymore.
What business do you think he's in?
Conning people.
What evidence do you have of that?
Well, the fact that none of us have gotten paid for our last paychecks or reimbursements, and it seems like his relationship with Nicole Murphy is completely dissolved, and he just started to get real shady. Just real shady real quick.
The money that you saw, you think it was her money?
I'm thinking it was, yeah. At that moment, definitely, because he was in that house and he said he was supposed to, you know, watch over it, make sure everything's good there. He's even had me and my ex-girlfriend stay there for a couple days by ourselves just to make sure nobody shows up. I remember it was a big deal for him to figure out if the house was bugged. He had people come in, make sure it wasn't bugged.
Is he paranoid?
Oh, God, yeah, extremely paranoid. Extremely.
What do you think he's afraid of?
Of himself, of the things he's done. I think he knows what he does is wrong, and he just wants to make sure his tracks are covered so he can keep doing what he does.
Now, are you aware that the FBI subpoenaed documents of his?
Yes. I was a part of that. I wasn't subpoenaed, but I helped with the whole documents.
What happened to the documents that the FBI subpoenaed?
Well, he told us, okay, well, we went through all of his paperwork and we filed it for him. And then we hired people to make copies of it. And then after the copies were made, we shipped a copy to him. We kept a copy. And then over the phone, because he was in Florida, we were in California, we would spend hours on the phone going through every piece of document together, and he would tell us to get rid of this, or keep that, keep this, get rid of that, until it came to be like 12 boxes turned into one, two or three, maybe, boxes that went over to where they're supposed to go.
Were there groups of documents that he did not want the FBI to see?
Yeah. Oh yeah, he was, especially with the Mandalay Bay. He was really touchy in Canada. He was very touchy about those. He claimed that he didn't, that was none of their business because it was up to him to keep his client's business private.
So there were activities in Canada that he concealed from them.
Mm-hmm.
There were activities in Las Vegas that he concealed from
them. And I believe in Boston as well. I think there was something in Boston, but there wasn't very much for Boston. But mainly Las Vegas and Canada was a big deal.
Okay. Do you know what ultimately happened to those documents?
From what I know, I actually was the one that had to take the boxes to FedEx and have them shipped to him, or actually to Richard Hack in his name. And that's all that I know that happened to those.
What do you know about Richard Hack?
All I know is that they claim he was an infamous writer. He did articles on soap operas or something like that, and that he has a couple books out that he wrote. But
what's his relationship with Troy Stratus?
Well, it seemed pretty platonic, but then getting to know them and hanging out with them out in Florida, it seemed like there was a time where they had a relationship, an intimate relationship, but it was never said, because Troy at that time was claiming to be a heterosexual, which, you know, whatever, he is what he is, but he had
a... Do you have an opinion on that?
No, because I'm a homosexual, so I was always like, come on, come out to family, you know, I know you're gay, I'm gay, you come on, tell me, you know? But he never gave in. But he seemed to favor me and my girlfriend more over the others because they thought it's because we're gay and he's gay, so they thought that that's why he was favoring us, but probably was. I have no idea.
Did he make you promises that he did not keep?
Oh, yeah. He promised to... Not that he would have to do this, but, you know, he promised that he would get me plastic surgery because I had gastric bypass and can be pretty down on myself with the excess skin. And he promised that he went and bought this car, this 55 Fairlane for my dad at an auction, and said that he'd drive up and give it to him because, you know, my dad's an old man and that would be everything to him to have that. And he knew that. And he knows how I felt about my dad. He's promised trips to London and cars and...
What happened with the 55 Fairlane?
I don't know. He auctioned it, said he wanted it, and then I guess he was able to... What I just heard is that he was able to tell the auctioneers, hey, I'm going to come back the next day with a check. Just hang on to it. He never did, apparently, and obviously. That's all I know about that one.
So, when did you first start working for him?
For the best of my memory, I want to say January 7th, just to throw it out there. I mean, that's really the best date I can think of, because it was really shortly after New Year's.
And that would be of 07?
07, 2007, yes.
And then you ended up going to Florida?
In February, yes.
And what took you to Florida?
I drove a moving van or a box truck.
And what was in the truck?
His belongings, like some furniture, like an ottoman, some clothing of his. It seemed really personal items just to fill a house, and it filled his house in the Wilton Manor. That's what he was using it for. That's all that I knew, and we packed most of that stuff, so... I'm pretty sure that's really all that was in that truck.
And you did deliver it to him?
Yes, I did within 3 days.
And why do you remember it being 3 days?
Well, because I didn't sleep because he liked to make a bet with all the guys and the employees that I would see if I could beat another old employee's time from Florida to Sacramento, and that if I did that, I would get $2,500 bonus. And, you know, well, $2,500 would be excellent in my pocket, so I did it. I was sleep-deprived and lost $2,000 in the process because of it, but I got there in 3 days just to get there quick. Barely got my money. He was reluctant to give it to me because who knows why, but... I remember on the phone, he was like, you know, I don't really want to give you this money. I don't really think that you deserve this money, but Sherry's making me give it to you, so you get it. But, you know, he just went off on his spiel about other crap. But, yeah, I wish I didn't do it in a 3-day time because it put a big strain on my relationship with my girlfriend at the time and stress on me mentally.
Okay. Now... This Next Level Media, what business were they in?
What I was aware of, it was music and movie production. Mostly music, really, because from what I was seeing, there was Kevin Dillon, who was a music producer, and then Lorenzo Pryor, who I guess did the piano stuff, keyboards or whatever. He would have those guys around, but no, I didn't really see any music being produced. There wasn't a studio or anything. But he would always talk about Nicole's CD. He was having Nicole make an album. I've heard the album, and it sounded really good. I liked it. You know, I was, wow, good job, you know. but never got released.
Did they actually do anything to make money that you know of?
No. I was really expecting them to release that album of Nicole's to make the money, but that never went through.
Was, in your opinion, was Next Level Media a genuine business, or was it a front?
At first it seemed genuine, because I didn't know any better at the time. It seemed pretty genuine, but then when it seemed like, you know, he said, on the 15th, I need Matt, Tara, and Jake, we're all going to London, we gotta do a shoot. Well, that never, you know, the 15th came around and we never went. So he'd always say, there's going to be something happening, and when it came, well, then it switched on to something else. Nothing ever happened.
Do you know anything about Collection X?
He talked about Collection X, about the jewelry of famous women, wives or whatever.
Did you ever see any of the jewelry?
Not that I'm wearing, but I did see a box of jewelry, but I don't think it was the jewelry that's from Collection X or whatever. It seemed like kind of junky because it wasn't taken care of very well, but I guess it was high-priced jewelry, but it just wasn't very well taken care of. Kind of just thrown in the jewelry box, like a piece of plastic.
Do you know anything about what happened to Nicole's jewelry?
The only thing I know is that it was stolen. I don't know who did it. I know that it was a big deal to Troy to figure out who stole it and to get the money back, or get money back for it, or whatever the case.
What did he tell you about somebody stealing it?
No, he just said somebody stole it or she lost it, one of the two.
And he was trying to recover it?
Yes, apparently.
What happened that you stopped working for this company?
Well, I should have stopped when the checks stopped coming, but I stuck around the mansion, and I worked every day for him, just sitting around the house, and then finally I get a call from Sherry that says, you know, just don't come in. He's gonna close out the business, and he's gonna make you guys, you know, your last day is gonna be effective. I think it was April 30th, 2007, or May 30th. I can't remember which month.
Did you get paid?
No, I'm still waiting for that.
And that's been how long?
2 years.
You think you're ever going to get paid?
No. No. Kind of count that as a loss. It'd be nice, though. I could really pay off some bills.
Anything I haven't asked you about that I should have asked you about?
No, really. It's all I can think of is just he's an abusive man. Very verbally abusive. But then can be the sweetest thing in the world and you just love him to death. And all you want to do is make him happy. Because when he's angry or upset, it's the worst. And you don't want that. You just want him to be happy, because when he's happy, you could just kiss him. You love him so much. He's so great.
Pretty convincing kind of guy.
Very convincing. Unbelievable.
Somebody said he could sell you your own car and make you buy it.
He sure could. He sure could. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anybody promise you anything or threaten you with anything to get you to make the statement?
No. Not at all.
You feel intimidated in any way?
Oh, no. Not at all.
You know what perjury is?
Vaguely, yeah.
You know that lying under oath is a bad thing?
Yes, I do know that.
You have an obligation to tell the truth.
Yes, sir.
Well, understanding that, do you swear or affirm that the statements that you've made as commemorated on this tape are true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
I sure do.
Okay, well, that will conclude the statement of Tara Graham. The time is now a few minutes before 10 in the evening. Thank you very much.